If you're someone who's been told you weren't good enough, not big enough, not fast enough, not smart enough, or if you've ever felt paralyzed by a failure you just weren't willing to accept, this is the show for you. Hustle and Motivate is a blueprint built by guests who've overcome obstacles, silenced critics, and overcome adversity by seeing every failure as an opportunity, realizing the true power of the underdog mentality. This is Tyler O'Shea, and you're listening to Hustle and Motivate. Today's guest has toured the US, Canada, Japan, and the Bahamas for over 25 years. He's worked well-known comedy clubs, resorts, cruise ships, and military installations. He's also begun a career as an actor, appearing in short films, commercials, music videos, and even an Amazon web series. But on September 11th of last year, everything came to a screeching halt. That's when Brian suffered a near-fatal heart attack that changed his outlook on everything. In our conversation, Brian gives us a behind-the-scenes look at the realities of being a professional entertainer and reflects on what he learned from his near-death experience. Here is Brian T. Shirley. Can you tell me a little bit about your early life? Were you like the class clown growing up?
Not really. I know that's a big question for a lot of comedians. No, I was really just a silly kid, and I liked to write a lot. I wanted to be an author originally and wrote short stories and what I thought would be novels. But on the other hand, I was, like I said, a silly kid, and I come up with all these characters and weird words and stuff like that. But the thing with the classroom was whenever we'd have an oral report, you know, kids were just did not like that. They did not want to get up in front of the class. And for some reason, that broke me out of my shell. I was a shy kid, an introvert, but man, get me up in front of that class and it just changes. And didn't know it then, but that's kind of the seeds of being an actor and a comedian and all those other things. Because I'm not good one-on-one, but mm-hmm. in front of a crowd, I'm more comfortable. I know it's strange, but that's just how I
feel. That's really different because a lot of people, like they say, public speaking is a bigger fear than death for some people.
Right.
Which is crazy. But so was comedy like your first career?
No. And, you know, you need life experience to make a career out of it. And it takes many, many years unless you're just a genius like a Jim Carrey or something. But which he was building on impressions and stuff really when he started out. So, you know, he couldn't necessarily talk about marriage and stuff, but, you know, I worked odd jobs. I was, in the Air Force and, you know, when you look back on your life, sometimes you go, gosh, I wish I'd have done this differently or I shouldn't have done that. And which is true, but I guess for some reason, when you're an entertainer and an actor, and a comedian, those things you shouldn't have done actually add to your show or add to your yeah. ability to do different characters. So I've put myself in so many different situations, and not every situation, but a lot of different situations. And it's helped me grow as an entertainer, I think. And doing comedy did not come till my mid-20s, actually.
And then
making a living at it, you still struggle with that throughout your career.
Yeah. Like what are some of the hurdles when you get into that industry?
It's different for everybody. I guess my biggest hurdles were being more businesslike, and it took me about 10 to 15 years to figure that out. That to me, when I look back, was the biggest hurdle. The second biggest was writing and being, but I had no problem coming up with stuff because I would do that anyway. So that was not the big thing. I think it was just I should have been more, like I said, business-like. I should have paid attention to that side of the show business, the business side of it, and I'd probably be a lot further along. But then there's things I wouldn't have experienced. So it's a double-edged sword. But and I did all the right things as far as coming up. I got on stage as much as possible. I went to as many pro comedy shows as possible because when you're doing this to begin with, you want to see a professional do it and you want to see him do the same show, not to steal material, but because when you see a comedian do the same bits in front of different audiences and in different venues, that's where you really learn a lot. You learn how to work your material in different ways. And I went on tour with a guy named Daryl Rhodes, who took me under his wing. Jeff Bridges, I had this movie Crazy Heart, and he played background. He was in the band with Jeff Bridges. And we went on tour. We did Canada twice, but I mean, I don't know how many times we worked together in the United States. And Daryl taught me a lot. Our acts are nothing alike, and that's not what I mean. I mean, he just taught me the craft a lot. And watching him and some of these other professionals that I've worked with over the years, really, that's where you really learn. Like I say, I don't do it to grab their material. I learned to work my material by watching them.
And what were some of the things you thought you would see in the industry? And then what are some of the things that changed or that you learned that maybe weren't what you expected?
Oh, well, when you're starting out, you think, man, I'm funny. You know, that's all I need. That's not right. I mean, yeah, they want you to be funny and all that, and that's big, but you got to be more than just funny. And some of the biggest lessons I learned is that that comics are lazy, and I'm one of them. I was. Now I'm working 24 hours a day. As to back then, it was, okay, I know my set, I know what I'm going to do tonight, let's party. That's basically it. And so I'm still single because of all the women I pissed off on the road, probably. But I mean, I think karma comes back. But yeah, I mean, it was chase women, do the show, chase some more women, drink and go to, you know, strip clubs or whatever. I mean, it was full on for many years. And then I suddenly thought, you know, I still had to have a, what they call a survival job, and still do. It just depends. I mean, sometimes that's how entertainment is, you know, it's just feast or famine. You can't, unless you've got a name, you know, you're known or whatever, it's tough to just do that. So what I've done is diversify. And that's the biggest lesson that I learned all those years. I should have done this 10, 15 years ago. And that's going into different areas. You know, now I DJ, I act, I host trivia, I do branding for companies or wine. I do wine tasting. And then that's a brand ambassador. Role. And I do dinner theater. You know, I'm having a problem thinking of all the things I do. We just started our third year of the film festival that I produce today, as a matter of fact. July 1st is the opening. So I learned how to diversify everything. If you're talented in one thing, that's great, but if you have other talents, why not use those to work your central you know, what you wanted. Like, I'm an entertainer now. I can't say I'm a comedian anymore because I've delved into so many different things. So I don't call myself just a comedian. And because I learned, hey, there's other things I can do and do pretty damn good. So let's use all that to push BTS, you know, Brian T. Shirley. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing. But at the same time, I'm building a great network of folks that, if I can help anybody, I will surely help them. You know, no pun intended, that's my last name. But I will help, you know, even folks I don't know, I try to help. But I'm just saying, when you surround yourself with people that are like-minded, that's the other thing I've learned, too. You meet a bunch of comics. Some of them you butt heads with. Some of them, you know, like I've known for 25 years now. And we're still good friends. And maybe I don't talk to them all the time, but if I call one, they'll pick up the phone and be like, hey, Shirley, what's going on? You know, I haven't heard from you in 3 years. But yeah, I think there's so many lessons to be passed on that I could probably talk for 2 hours about everything I learned and still learn. And when you think that you learned everything, you might as well, that's when you should quit, because you're not going to progress anymore.
I've always, it's funny that you mentioned like the lifestyle behind it, and we're going to get to, you know, what happened with September 11th and all that, but just I don't know. I've always like been curious about like what the life is like behind the scenes of a comedian and when you're on tour and stuff. Did you ever do any like cruise ships or anything like that?
Yes, I did. I did Carnival. I did 4 cruises for them. And then something popped on my background check, and long story there too. But yeah, I was on there and I was doing good. And then this little thing legally kind of snared me. But you know, that's the way it works. Yeah. You get a break and you take as much as you can. And sometimes you get a bad break, or I don't know. Sometimes I try to look at it as not bad. I mean, it's just, it happens. So you have to deal with it. And I still get negative, but I'm trying to turn that around. And, the cruises were great. I'd love to do them again. Who knows? I might, you know, if I'm building a name, you know, that it's going to open some more doors for me. I know that. So I'm not putting anything out of, you know, like, I'll never do that again. I'm never going to say that. I'd love to go back to the cruises. I wouldn't do it full time, which is great because you don't have to. You can say, yeah, I'll take one a month or two a month. Mm-hmm. Now, back then, yeah, I would have said, that's it, I'm doing the cruises. But now I'm having so much fun doing films and web series and stuff. It's bit me harder than comedy bit me back in the day, because now it's like, man, I love being on a set. I love, I was on a set for 14 hours Thursday.
Wow.
And yeah. And, you know, it's grueling. It's, you know, tiresome, but I was still exhilarated going home because some really cool stuff happened. I was doing background for Outer Banks, which is a Netflix series that's coming out in 2020. And they're shooting 10 episodes here at Charleston. And, you know, some people, not everybody, but some people look down on background actors. And I've read stuff that really blows that away, because this is established actors that I'm talking about that I've read that said, look, if you're in between projects, do you want to go deliver pizza or do you want to be in a movie set? So go do some background, because you network too. And director, you might, find a new director that likes your look or something, you know. And, you know, if you go on there and you're professional, you know, who knows? Like I was in a scene where there was 100 extras and I thought, there's no way I'm going to be seen, but you know, here I am. And next thing I know, the lead actor in that particular scene, we were outside. He was doing just improv, really. The cameras are rolling. He's shaking hands with extras, and across the yard, he points at me and waves, and I do. And then next thing I know, he's got his hand out and he's walking towards me. I'm going, good thing I knew improv, because I would have froze. But, you know, and we did that like 8-10 times. So I'm like, okay, this thing gets on Netflix, there's my face is going to be on there. Definitely. Let's say I can do some creative editing to edit me out. But, that's just another lesson that I learned. So
and
I'll go back.
When did you start getting into film?
I've kind of always been into film. I've always been into writing, sketch comedy and, stuff like that. I guess it's been the last 7 or so years. I'm trying to think of when I started, because you were bringing up behind the scenes. I have a web series called BTS on the Road that I started doing 4 or 5 years ago. And it was all about what it's like to be a comedian on the road. I show you, you know, the drive there. I show you the venue. I show you the other comedians. Sometimes I'll interview the club owner. I think I did about 60 episodes of that. And then before that, I did one called Behind the Scenes at Kinetic High 5. I was doing an internet radio show, and 2 hours a week, just, you know, one day. And we were in a studio, though. It was a pro studio. And that's where it started, with that particular thing. I started filming that. And so before that, it's got to go back at least 7 or 8 years. You know, I would say that led to everything right now. But before that, I was in an independent film long ago. It may have been 15 years or so ago. And some light stuff, some light commercial, you know, nothing big here and there. I was always interested in acting. But I was touring so much that that. Yeah. I really couldn't pursue it like I can now. We'll talk about what slowed me down to the point where I couldn't do anything for a while. But which there again, you go, wow, that was a bad thing that happened. Well, no, it was something that happened, and it made me look at life a lot different.
Yeah, let's get to that now. So on September 11th of last year, for people who don't know, you suffered a near fatal heart attack. Can you walk me through how that happened?
Sure. I was starting to be really tired about 2 or 3 months leading up to it. Every day it was just exhaustion. And I was doing something in the morning one day, and my arms and my jaws were hurting. And it got a little better, and I managed to get through the day, and I went to bed and woke up, and again, just intense jaw pain. That morning, 9/11, I woke up, and around 9, I was getting ready to go somewhere, and it hit big time. The jaw pain came, then it went down my arms and then my chest, and I got my dad on the phone. He had just called or something. It was just kind of weird the way it happened, and he was trying to talk to me, and I said, look, something's wrong. And, it knocked me to the ground, and the floor's on the ground, and I'm on all fours trying to talk, and I couldn't. And he came and got me and dropped me off at doctor's care. I didn't want to go to the hospital because I had just been to doctor's care for jaw pain. And they call it doc in a box or whatever. But yeah. He dropped me off there on the way to the liquor store. And and that's true. And I do a whole bit about it on stage. And, even if they don't laugh, I go, I'm just kidding. He was going to Total Wine. But and he did. But what was funny about that was, I went in there. I'll tell you that in a minute. But I went in there and, they already had my stuff for a month before or whatever. So that was quick, me checking in, which was good. And I sat down and it hit again. Big time. And it started as just a weird feeling at first.
Yeah.
Just, I walked up there, I go, I don't feel good. And the lady goes, what's wrong? I go, I think I'm having a heart attack. And they wheeled me back and gave me some nitroglycerin and aspirin. And the guy was yelling at me. The doctor was going, don't come here to have a heart attack. And he was pissed. And I was thinking, well, there's no sign when you walk in with, a circle and a slash through it and a guy on it going, oh my God, like that. So how the hell would I not know to come here? But they actually took me, they called the ambulance, stuck me in the ambulance and took me to Roper in here in Charleston downtown. And the funny thing about that is the ambulance is going towards downtown. My dad is coming back to the doctor's care and the ambulance passes him. And he thinks, man, I hope my son wasn't in there. Well, at least I got my bourbon. But, he gets there and they send him to the wrong hospital. So, but they was downtown. They were both downtown. But, yeah, I know he was stressed then because he gets there and they're like, well, we don't have him here.
Oh, man.
He's thinking I'm in the morgue. I said, Dad, it's, I think they'd give me a little more time than that. But, that was tough. The next day, they put a balloon in as soon as I got there to keep a vein open, keep me alive, basically, but keep the vein open, one of them. And because at that time, they said it's going to be, you got 3 blockages. One of them was 100%. It had been there so long that it built its own bypass with veins or whatever.
Wow.
And I guess apparently it wasn't enough. But the next morning at 7, I had quadruple bypass. They said it was going to be 3, but they found another one. So that was the beginning of, first you're getting over that, but, I can't help it. I always start to think about the career. And, as a matter of fact, I was supposed to go give a speech on the 12th that day, 9/12, down in Georgia about, and this is, I'm not even kidding. It was a talking, keynote for, the United Way down there. They have a yearly thing they do. And I did comedy the year before and they wanted a speaker. And I said, well, if you don't find one, I can do this. And they said, no, well, we'd love to have you back. So I didn't make it. And the name of the speech was The Power of Persistence. So thinking, what are they doing down there? What happened to the persistence guy? You know, persistence my ass. So obviously I think I called them either while I was having the heart attack or while I was sitting in the emergency room, or I don't know. You don't remember.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know, you don't remember about a week there, barely anything. And, that just, you know, you're out of work. You can't do nothing for at least a month and a half. I mean, you can't drive. I got to drive, you know, to make a living. And, you know, I barely could get on the internet or do any of that stuff to make bookings or whatever. So I'm still, and it's almost a year, but, you know, I'm still suffering from the loss of work from that last year, because the way it works is, especially with comedy, some of these clubs, you know, they're booked 6-8 months, a year in advance, a lot of them, you know, and it's hard to get work. There's just too many comedians out there. So, you know, when you fall back like that, it's just a huge challenge to, you know, get back. And at some point, I think it was in February or March, I just told myself, I said, you know, just let it go for now. So I didn't even try to really book any clubs, and I haven't for months. And I mean, I'm talking about sitting down, sending my avail list, you know, sending out promo, here's the new things I got going on, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I would do that relentlessly. And I just had to step back and go, I'm not going to do it right now, because A, the stress that's involved is sometimes not good for you, because, and you shouldn't let it stress you, but it does, because you do all this and then you hear nothing, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's irritating, you know? So you're like, okay, I told myself I'm not going through this, because I started doing it, and then I stopped and I went, no, I'm not going through this. You send them all this and you don't hear nothing, or they send you, hey, can you do a one-nighter here? Then you got this night off, and then you do the other one down in Florida, you know, and they don't put you up in between, you know? So I'm going, no, I'm not going to deal with that. It's just too frustrating right now. Plus I couldn't drive too much anyway. So now what I'm doing is I'm saying, screw it. I'll work, because I've been doing country clubs, VFWs, birthday parties, assisted living facilities. I've done a lot of that stuff since the heart attack. And that's kept me going pretty good with stand-up. But then, you know, all of a sudden I started getting, I did a regional TV commercial for a pest control service that was up in New York, and blah, 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 all this stuff on Roku and Hulu. So that was nice. I did that in April, and it came out in May, I think. And this month, I'm in a music video that's coming out the 15th for a band here. They're called Ranky Tanky. I'd never heard of them. That's a gullah term. I don't know if you know what a gullah is, but it's a kind of an island type thing, like a Caribbean type vernacular, I guess you want to call it. Gullah, yeah. It's a lot of gullah folks here in the Low Country, Charleston, Savannah area. And if you ever see the ladies making the baskets out of the sweet grass, you know, that's kind of like a gullah thing. And gullah means having a good time. I mean, Ranky Tanky means having a good time or having fun. So this band is, I go to the set and, you know, I'm thinking, you know, it's a local thing. It's, you know, not a lot of money, but, you know, hell, I'll do it. And I was blown away when I got there. The setup was just amazing. They had a crane inside this club with the camera on the crane. And then they had two or three other nice cameras. You know, right then, when I saw all that, I went, okay. And then they were telling me about the band. Have you met these guys? Uh-uh. Yeah, they were on the Today Show. Let's see, 2017, they were number one on the Jazz Billboard Hot 100. I'm going, what? And yeah, so I get there, I'm playing co-lead in the video. I'm a landlord evicting a lady out of her club. And the band gets together, does a concert. I show back up, they give me a bunch of money, and then I go and dance in front of the band and the other extras or whatever. And I saw it. They did it about a week ago, sent it to me, completed, and I almost cried. I mean, because when you are, it's one of the biggest things I've been a part of in my head. I mean, you know, who knows how many hits or whatever it's going to get. But when I watched it, it was just so well done. I thought this could be on MTV or VH1 or whatever. Easy. I mean, it's just pro to the core. And then the shots that they did of me, I was blown away. I was like, oh, I cannot believe what they did with what, you know, I gave them. And all I got to say is you just got to see it. It just blew me away.
Yeah.
The song's good too. It's a really good song. It's up tempo. And, you know, I just got out and danced. There was no direction. They just said, look, we want you in front of the audience, in between them and the band. And the camera was on stage filming back towards me. And at some moment I had a religious experience or something, because I just said, I'm going to fall backwards. And I did. And they caught me.
Wow.
And I didn't even tell them. They caught me and I went down, and then they brought me back up. And, it got in the video. Part of it got in the video.
That's awesome.
And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So yeah, it's, I think it's the highlight so far, at least of this year. I don't know. The commercial was good too. And it's, you know, you do what you can, and then it's amazing what these people do with what you give them. You just go, wow, you made me look so good. How did you do that? You know, and you're thankful when you get those things. So this is a big month. I mean, not only because I'm starting off on this show, because I really love what you do. It's so often that, you know, underdogs are not represented until they're an overdog.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, here's the underdogs, but nobody cares until they're famous, you know?
Yeah.
And I like seeing somebody that's watching them on their way up. Mm. That's very rare. So I got to salute you for that.
And, thank you.
By the way, I'm a Braves fan. I saw the Pedroia thing.
That's a tough one, being from Philly.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So getting back to the heart attack, did anything change for you since that experience? Like, are there specific things you might approach differently now?
Food. I don't have any salt in my house right now, and probably won't. I learned sodium. Next time you go shopping and you get a can of green beans, look at the sodium on there. You'll be amazed if you've never looked at it before. Yeah. So if you want to keep sodium out of your life as much as possible, rinse them, you know. But yeah, that change in my diet, like today I had some chicken and I made a little sauce with some honey mustard. Honey mustard is surprisingly low in sodium and fat. So that's the one thing, is I'm watching that. I've gained weight and I'm trying to take it back off because my back, now I'm having back issues, but that's another story. The financial thing was tough, but I did learn. I have a great support group, and I got to say thanks to all the folks out there that helped, my friends and family and church, that really, God, I mean, I couldn't have made it through. It's financially, those, when you go through something like that, and these people that you hear having cancer, and the lady you did the interview with that had, I couldn't imagine having four open hearts. That one is enough. And I think she was $250,000 in debt.
Yeah.
When it was all said and done. That's a huge mountain to climb. $10,000 right now for me is huge to climb. So I think the other thing I've learned, and I'm trying, and it's an ongoing thing, is stress. To not get stressed about stuff. That's the biggest lesson that I've learned. And I'm trying, and it's so hard when you spend 50 years of your life and, you know, you're just nervous about everything just because that's how your personality is. So to change that is very tough, and it's an ongoing process. So I would say, you know, prepare, do the best you can, you know, try to do all the things you need to do. And then at the end of the day, or, you know, in your head somewhere, you have to let go and say, you know, okay, it's going to work our day. You know, you have to learn to, and then to take yourself out of these stressful situations. So that's why I stopped for now, like I said, with trying to get the bookings at clubs, because it's like banging against a metal, not even a concrete wall. I'm talking a metal, 100-foot thick metal wall that just is immovable. That is stress, because you say to yourself, I've been doing this 25 years. I've got reviews on my website. You know, I've got nine ways from Sunday to show people that I have can do the job and have done the job, have done it a lot. But they still don't hear, you know, and you just go, oh, well, you know, so that's the big thing is learning to let that go. And that's the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. It really is. Cause that was me for a long time, you know? So to turn around and go, all right. Now it doesn't mean I'm not quitting. I'm just letting that part of the stand up go, like I said, for now, because there, if it keeps going the way it's going, there's going to be a point where either, you know, somebody's going to come to me. There are a few bookers that I will work for right now. Laughing Comedy Cafe, Fort Myers, Florida. This Brian Corian is a great friend, and you know, he's always been there for me. So I know I'm going to be working his room either at the end of this year or into next year. Right now, I can't book with him because I've got a movie called Norman's Son that I've been cast in, and we're not sure if it's starting in September or October or when. So I'm kind of leaving some stuff open in that area. Not, you know, if I get something, the thing about it is if I get a movie role, you know, he'll be understanding, but you know, if I got to go to Florida and that's going to be a week or so long trip, because I'm going to go and spend time with friends on the way down there and stuff. But I'd say getting stress out of your life is very important, and that's what I learned.
Yeah, and especially in the career you're in as an entertainer, like you said, it's got to be so incredibly stressful because you're working for yourself pretty much, and there's so much that goes into it. So for our more entrepreneurial minded listeners out there, what advice would you give them, you know, for people who want to work for themselves?
Well, I'll expand on what I just said about the stress and letting go, because here's a good example. And this is an entrepreneur can kind of use this in their sales mindset, you know, when they're making cold calls or however they're doing that. When I do an audition, it's the same thing. It's, you know, if you're going to meet a client or calling a client for prospective business, that's what I'm doing when I submit. And they come back and they go, okay, we want you to audition. You're doing an audition too. So the big thing with that is when you do an audition, you tear up the sides afterwards. Now, the sides of the lines they give you. Because if you sit there and think about that one, you don't know if they're going to book you. You don't know if, I mean, you could do great, but what if I'm bald. What if they wanted a guy with hair? But they said, well, let's look at him anyway. You know, So, I mean, there's reasons, and that's the same in business. There's reasons that you don't get the gig, and it's not always you, you know. As a matter of fact, I would say 90% of the time it's not you. You know, more than likely it's, like I said, you just don't fit the profile, or, you know, you're not going to be able to work whatever dates they need, or, you know, there's just so many things that come into play. So that I would say, you know, get out there, try to make the sale, try to make, you know, the client happy or whatever. Once you do your best, just let it go. You know, go to the next thing. You know, move on. Keep it moving. Keep your positive attitude going. And if you network and diversify your talents, that will help you with that. Because if you're only good at one thing, you only have one thing to really look at once you finish your audition or your business meeting, whatever. So, but if you can spread it out across different areas, then that gives you more to work on when you're not actually quote unquote working. You know, you've got more things you can do. I mean, I can sit here for hours on the computer and promote and do stuff if I've got nothing going on.
Yeah.
So I'm always trying to fill the time. I mean, I try to have fun too and relax and, you know, have a party or whatever, but now that's not the focus like it was. You know, the focus has switched a lot to health and career. And I don't want to retire ever. You know, I just can't see myself retire. It just scares me when people go, you're going to retire. I go, don't say that. You know? get away. Don't say that right here.
And it seems like you said you scouted all back. I mean, it seems like you're really still so busy, keeping so busy.
Yeah, I scaled back what stressed me out and added in new things. Yeah. And the big thing was acting that really this year. Yeah, I have to say this year is more than any year I've ever had in 25 years of being an entertainer. Yeah, it blows my mind. I'm like, I can't believe some of the things I've gotten. And, they're not huge, but, I mean, some of them are pretty damn good. I'm like, wow, you look back and you go, so it's all about building. It's all about experience and building your profile and all of that. And that's what helps you through the bad times, the down times, whatever you want to call it, the times that aren't so good, and you sit there and you get down on yourself. Well, this is something you can do. You can take out a piece of paper and start writing down your accomplishments or writing down the things, that you think that you did that were, exceptional or pretty damn good. And after a while, you'll be probably out of your mood. You'll probably feel a lot better about yourself.
So before we wrap this up, do you want to tell people where they can find you and your work?
Sure. They can go to BrianTShirley.com, BrianTShirley, just like the girl. And you can call me Serious, by the way. No, I'm kidding. You can call me Shirley. BrianTShirley.com and Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, pretty much on those. If you put my name in, it should pop up. And if you forget any of that, if you just put Brian T. Shirley in Google, I'm like the first three pages, I think, two or three. Mm-hmm. And all the stuff pops up there. And, my website is, I try to keep it up to date as possible. I had so much stuff happen this week. Some of it ain't on there because it's just... 14 hours, 2-3 wine event. Oh, and I did Dinner Detective Saturday night. So it was like, Sunday came and I was just exhausted. I got shot and died Saturday night.
All right. Well, Brian, thanks so much for coming on, sharing your story. I mean, you got a wealth of experience to share with people and, it's really awesome. All this exciting stuff you have going on. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to come on the show.
No, thank you, Tyler. You, like I said, I enjoy what you're doing, and this is a great platform that you're doing for folks. And I wish there were more like you. I really do.
Thank you.
When we lift each other up, we can't help but be lifted ourselves.
If this conversation added any value to your life, or taught you something new, or helped you think about things a little bit differently, you don't have to subscribe. You don't have to leave a review. All I ask is that you just tell one friend. We don't care about the numbers, we don't care about the stats and all that stuff. What we do care about is impacting lives. And by telling someone about the show, you're helping us do that. So thanks for tuning in, and remember, Hustle and Motivate is brought to you by JokerMag.com, the home of the underdog.